In all the complexities of the universe, there is one thing we know for certain about life, and that's that it ends. That's right, we are all going to die one day, and we might not know how, we might not know when, but, like it or not, the big fella with the black hood will eventually come a-knocking for us all. But is there a way to delay the inevitable swing of his scythe? Well, some people reckon that they might have found the cheat codes to longevity, and they might not be quite what you'd expect. Want to learn the secrets to sticking around for a good time and a long time? This is The Shorthand.
Much of modern research into life expectancy traces back to one guy, 19th century English mathematician Benjamin Gompertz. In 1825, he created the Gompertz Law that provides mathematical proof for what we might call stating the obvious. Human mortality rates increase exponentially with age. The Gompertz model says that for adults between 30 and 90, your risk of dying roughly doubles every 7 to 8 years. But surely things have changed since then, right? Well, yes and no. Thanks to advancements in healthcare and technology, people are now expected to live a hell of a lot longer than they were back when Mr. Gompertz was knocking about. Back in the 1800s, no country had a life expectancy higher than 40, thanks to dire infant mortality rates, mainly with 15% of all UK babies dying before the age of one. Nowadays, the average global expectancy is over 70. But these changes haven't kept the Grim Reaper completely at bay. While you might be less likely to pop your clogs as a tot, age-related diseases like diabetes and cancer have also become increasingly common as we live longer. Even with medical intervention, the body's biological ability to fight back and recover from these illnesses naturally decreases as you age. So, as a rule, Gompertz's law continues to hold up today and is still widely used by life insurance companies to figure out how much you might need to cough up for your premiums.
Which brings us to our next big question. Is there a biological limit to how long humans can actually live? Science generally says that yes, there is. Many biologists believe that the absolute maximum age a human can reach is somewhere between 115 and 125 years. Beyond this point, your organs would just lose any ability to recover from illness and stress, known as resilience, and just shut down. How do they know this for sure? Well, it's simple as far as we know. No one has ever done it. Data shows that the oldest people tend to start dropping like flies around the 115-year mark, and nobody has ever made it to 125. The oldest male in verified history was Jimrion Kimura from Japan, who passed away in 2013 at the ripe old age of 116 years and 54 days. And the longest ever verified human life belonged to a French lady named Jean Calment, who made it to an impressive 122 years and 164 days old in 1997. She attributed her longevity to chocolate, after-dinner cigarettes, olive oil, and just to mix it up a little bit, daily fruit salads. But we're going to come back to Jean's story in a little bit, because there might be a little bit more there than meets the eye.
Enough looking into the past. What about the future? Well, not everyone agrees on how long our flesh sacks could hypothetically keep going. Global researchers have recently used a computer model to suggest the actual upper ceiling of a human being could be 150 years, based on studies into resilience and recovery in the body. Now that might sound mental, but in fact, previous predictions about lifespan have consistently been smashed over the years. Back in 1921, scientists claimed to have proven that nobody could live beyond 105, at which point we can only assume that Jean Calment said, "Hold my cig and my fruit snacks." Now, with that in mind, many argue that advances in the modern world mean that we can reasonably expect young people born today to live far longer than we will. And some crazy cats even argue that there's no biological limit at all. Australian biologist Dr. David Sinclair believes the body's cells retain information from their past life, like memories, and future therapies could potentially restore those functions. Essentially, every human body possesses a backup copy of all of its genes. And by accessing this, we could effectively biohack our way to immortality. Dr. Sinclair reckons this is something we might be able to do realistically in the next 50 to 70 years, although critics argue this theory relies on future tech that doesn't exist yet. With that said, new treatments are currently being tested, like the immunosuppressant rapamycin, which has been found to extend lifespans of mice by up to 15%. And then there's the diabetes drug metformin, which could transform the aging process as we know it. They're thought to help the body fight cell decay by working with protein recycling cells and the immune system. Still, these medicines are in the very early stages of development and are mainly being pursued as a way to increase the years of healthy life for aging adults, rather than actually increasing the maximum lifespan beyond current estimates.
Unless you were literally born yesterday, in which case, good fucking luck. All these future projections probably aren't going to help much with your personal quest to reach the century mark. Which begs the question, what can those of us who aren't getting any younger do now? Well, according to some research, home is more than just where the heart is. It actually plays a surprisingly big role in how long you're likely to last. Demographic studies have consistently found massive differences in life expectancy depending on where people live. In the UK alone, there can be gaps of years between different regions, towns, and even neighbourhoods within the same city. Why is that? Well, it's not really necessarily the location, it's everything that comes with it. Things like income, access to healthcare, pollution, diet, stress, employment, housing, and exercise opportunities all vary depending on where you call home. So unfortunately, one of the most reliable ways to boost your odds of living longer appears to be the same as boosting your odds of just about anything else in this world. Try not to be poor, you disgusting peasant.
Okay, listen. We know you're listening to this because maybe you want some actual solutions. And so far, we've kind of failed to deliver. Well, we do have a bit of good news on the horizon. Researchers have noticed that in certain pockets of the world, people don't just tend to kick the bucket a little bit later than average. They appear to live significantly longer. Welcome to the world's so-called blue zones. The term, coined by author and explorer Dan Buettner in the 2000s, refers to areas across the globe that stick out for having high numbers of centenarians, so people over 100 years old, than you would expect given the general population. And these are the islands of Okinawa in Japan, Sardinia in Italy, and Icaria in Greece, the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica, and the hillside city of Loma Linda in California. So what the hell is in the water in these magical places? Are people doing weird anti-aging treatments a la The Substance, or dunking themselves in cryogenic vats of ice to preserve their youth? Well, no. Even as their cultures differ, what these places appear to have in common is their adherence to a healthy and fulfilling lifestyle that prioritizes fresh air, regular walks, a healthy, balanced plant-based diet, and a mindful approach to life. Blue Zone's founder, Dan Buettner, identifies the four core tenets shared by each of these communities as move, right outlook, eat wisely, and connect. In other words, Blue Zones run on the unglamorous combination of eating your greens, stretching your legs, hugging your pals, and not stressing yourself into an early grave. Finally, a longevity plan that doesn't involve injecting yourself with your son's own blood.
So let's get specific. How do the golden oldies and all of these regions actually make it work? In Okinawa, longevity is often attributed to the concepts of ikigai, a Japanese word that roughly translates to reason for being, and moai, meeting for a common purpose. In other words, they make an effort to live purposefully and socially. So rather than just curling up and waiting to die, these sprightly seniors remain active and engaged in their community long past retirement age. In Costa Rica's Nicoya Peninsula, they have their own version of ikigai called plan de vida, which essentially translates to a strong sense of purpose and close family bonds. As for the Sardinians, Along with necking copious amounts of red wine, their secret might actually lie in spending decades doing accidental cardio. The island's Ogliastra area is especially known for its intensely hilly terrain. That means that residents can't exactly skip leg day, and that brings some serious health benefits with it. Ogliastra stands out among the blue zones for its high rate of male centenarians, who seem to have beaten the genetic curse of heart disease, which largely affects men. And then we've got the idyllic Greek Isle of Icaria. And the answer there is more on the Zen side. The island's famously slow pace of life, with residents enjoying afternoon naps and refusing to rush for anyone, has actually been linked to their impressive longevity. California's Loma Linda is the odd one out because it's not an island, but many of its residents do belong to a distinct religious sect called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Members generally abstain from smoking or drinking, they eat vegetarian diets, and they prioritise rest, including a weekly Sabbath, where they take their feet off the proverbial gas. I could be wrong here, but I'm also pretty sure they don't intervene if children choke.
Seems to be working out.
Quote me, don't quote me. Send me to prison. I've lived a good life. And all of those lifestyle factors seem to lead to a longer life, on average.
But before you start browsing properties in Sardinia and brushing up on your Greek, you might want to hold your horses. Because not everyone is exactly sold on the Blue Zones theory. In 2024, science writer Ignacio Amigo said it rested on shaky science and pointed out how the whole theory has spawned a cottage industry of books, diet plans, and even a Netflix series, all lapped up by consumers keen to learn the supposed secret to delaying death. Dan Buettner has even commercialised the idea into a multi-million dollar business called Blue Zones LLC that sells a utopian dream to communities across the US. And Dr. Saul Justin Newman of UCL reckons the theory isn't just overhyped, but it might also be built on a whopping lie. Newman argues that the Blue Zones have one big thing in common. Sketchy records. Data indicating high quotas of centenarians in these areas could in fact be skewed by outdated records, making it seem like people are living insanely long lives. Take the case of Japan's Sōgun Kato, whose record as the country's oldest living person was blown to shreds when his mummified remains were found in 2010. As it turned out, he'd popped his clogs back in 1978, but his family had been pocketing his pension for the past 30-odd years and inadvertently drew quite a lot of attention to themselves by making him the oldest person in Japan. The discovery actually led Japan to conduct a review into its 230,000 centenarians, only to learn that a shocking 82% were already dead or missing. Oh dear.
Okay, so we need to get a bit more personal here. To figure out how to live to 100, we need to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. So what do the oldest people in the world have to say about their staying power? The current oldest living person is a British lady called Ethel Catrim. Ethel was born on the 21st of August 1909, at the time we're recording this episode. She is an incredible 116 years and 298 days old. Ethel credits her long life to, quote, never arguing with anyone. I listen and I do what I like. She also advises people to say yes to every opportunity, have a positive mental attitude, and to do everything in moderation. Get it, Ethel. It's all solid advice, but for the really good stuff, we are going to have to go all the way to the top, to the grand dame of the oldest people club, France's Jean Calment. To put it into perspective, just how especially epically long her life was, Queen Victoria still had 26 years left on the throne when Jean was born in 1875. By the time of her death in 1997, humans had fought two world wars, landed on the moon, and invented the internet. When Jean was born in Arles in 1875, the average life expectancy was just 43, which she smashed by nearly 80 years. She proudly told reporters that she had never, never been ill, and most famously quipped, "I only have one wrinkle, and I'm sitting on it." Jean put her longevity down to staying active and engaged and refused to give up cycling until her 100th birthday.
But Jean Calmette's extreme age did present a dilemma to researchers, because not only did she outlive everyone else, she did it by a lot. At 122, she lived more than 3 years longer than the next oldest verified person, a Japanese woman named Kane Tanaka. So unsurprisingly, Jean's position as an outlier in the data has raised some eyebrows. And in 2018, two Russian researchers put forward the bombshell claim that Jean wasn't exactly who she said she was. Instead, she was the real Jean's supposedly long-dead daughter, Yvonne Calmette. Officially, Yvonne tragically died of pleurisy in 1934, aged just 36. But according to skeptics, it was actually Jean who died at 59, at which point Yvonne took on her mother's identity and lived the rest of her life as this impossibly old woman, potentially to avoid paying hefty inheritance taxes. If true, Yvonne would have died age 99, which is still a cracking innings, but not quite the oldest woman in the world territory. But as juicy as the daughter switch theory is, it's never actually been proven. Jean's family insist it's a lie, and the French authorities still believe her birth certificate and her verification documents are the real deal. So as far as we know, Jean Calmette is legit. And unless someone proves it with a DNA test, she keeps her title as the oldest verifiable person in human history.
With all the controversy around those who make it to an insanely old age, maybe it's worth taking it back to basics and looking at what we can really do now, us youngins, us spry spring chickens, to stay healthy for longer. Traditional wisdom says longevity starts in the kitchen. Over the years, nutritionists have cycled through a revolving door of so-called superfoods, promising miracle life-extending benefits. From acai berries to kale, I've never known how to say that. Acai, I'm gonna die, whatever. We've all dutifully chucked them into our smoothies, perhaps to no avail. Meanwhile, research is increasingly linking ultra-processed foods to certain cancers. And we know that red meat is best in moderation unless you want your heart to explode. And there is obviously another thing we know for sure. Regular physical activity, even just daily walks, can add up to 7 years to your lifespan by helping the body prevent and fight disease. So it goes without saying that if you want to increase your chances of getting a letter from the king, then lifestyle and diet is a good place to start. But honestly, really consider it. Muriel, as I keep banging on about, is 100 fucking miserable. No, thank you. Speaking of Muriel, it turns out you can't choose your family. And when it comes to longevity, this is one sticky factor that unfortunately no amount of green juice can ever overcome. Global researchers estimate that our genes account for roughly 20 to 30% of the differences in how long people live. So I'm fucked. The women, they live for fucking ever. So a family history of cancer or diabetes already puts you at a disadvantage that you might not be able to outrun by putting down roots in a so-called blue zone.
And the genetic lottery doesn't stop there. It also ties to your biological sex. Global research shows that women tend to live between 3 to 7 years longer than men, which is thought to come down to a mixture of biological and social factors. Women have two X chromosomes, so a mutation on one can be offset by the other. We also produce more estrogen, regulating cholesterol and protecting our hearts against disease until menopause, which is a biggie, since men are 50% more likely to die from it. Socially speaking, it's also been joked that men die sooner because, well, they tend to do more dumb shit. And believe it or not, there might actually be solid evidence behind this theory. Some researchers call it biological destiny, linking testosterone to risk-taking, while parts of the brain involved in judgment develop more slowly in boys. This may help to explain higher rates of accidents and violence among young men. Lifestyle data also suggests that men are more likely to smoke, drink alcohol, avoid preventative healthcare, and work in more risky jobs like military or construction. And they're statistically around 3 times more likely to commit suicide than women. So, if you're a woman, congratulations. You've already ticked off one advantage in the race to 100.
So what have we actually learned? Well, basically, we found a lot of clues, but no actual cheat codes. Sure, it might be a good idea to renew that gym membership and give a bit more thought to what you're putting inside yourself, you whore. But there's no single way to beat your own personal genetic lottery. At the end of the day, there is absolutely nothing we can do to outsmart death, because sometimes he comes disguised as his shitty bitchy cousin, fate. And your sins will find you out in the end. Call it luck, call it chance, call it whatever you want. It does not matter. You could be as healthy as a horse and still get hit by a bus tomorrow. Or you could smoke 50 fags a day and survive to 100. Life's just a bitch that way, so try not to stress too much about every gram of everything you're eating, because that's just not a life. Don't make yourself miserable. And after all the studies, theories, and so-called miracle cures, nobody has ever actually managed to do the impossible and get out of this place alive. Not even Jean Calment, although she did give it a bloody good go. So honestly, life is too short to worry about it that much, and also too long. What are you doing spending every second of your time on Earth worrying about how long you're going to stay? Just have 3 glasses of wine, Stephen.
I think it just comes back to what Mr. Blue Zones was trying to sell us, but you don't need to buy his books or into Blue Zones LLC to do it. Just move your body, have some mates, eat well, do everything in moderation, and try not to stress about everything.
Stress is the worst thing you can do to yourself, so think about that first, probably. And we will see you next week for something else, unless we get hit by a bus.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.